Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it is time once again for the Retro Radio Podcast. And I wanted to say that I have been out of town for much of the summer, all through July, of course, and I thought I would have a chance to do some remote podcasting, but alas, and alack, as I might say in Shakespearean stuff, it didn't work out, unfortunately. I was barely able to maintain posting stuff on a daily basis to the site, as I like to do, and as I know that if I don't do, listeners will let me know. It's happened before. So here I am back in the studio, and I have a one-hour episode, so I don't want to talk much longer. I know there's at least a couple of people out there who are not fond of Lum and Abner. Well, I try to work with what listeners like to hear, and there are actually a lot more people out there who have noticed that my Lum and Abner shows have dried up. I haven't been posting them. By now, I've been restarting them. By the time you're hearing this, there's a few that I've trickled out there. This actually comes from the date 1951. I think it's June 1951. I want to say June 14th. Yeah, that's kind of a long rambling way of saying that. Jukebox Jamboree. This was actually a pilot. You'll notice the date, 1951. This was kind of on the heels of their not-so-hot attempt at the half-hour show. And I think they were trying to transition and pull the plug on that show. It just wasn't striking a chord with their audience. Although I like them, I have to say, listen to them, I actually do get it, what they were trying to do. It just kind of the timing of it and the audience just wasn't right. So here we go. They have this pilot. It's a one-hour Jukebox Jamboree. During the war years, they did a musical show for AFRS, something like this. I may have played it before on the podcast. I don't remember. If I haven't, I will try to scratch them out of my archives and maybe show off a couple. But here they are. This is meant to be based on episodes where they did a radio station in Pine Ridge for a little bit using a aftermarket post-war Army Surplus radio set that they broadcast things to people in Pine Ridge and advertise folks. And this is kind of a take on that. It's kind of, they're kind of spinning up a variety of records, everything from Bing Crosby to Tex Ritter and things in between. And they just kind of comment in their Lum and Abner kind of way, being silly, being a little bit confused, being a little bit, Lum and Abner. And I kind of like it, and I really wish that this show would have been picked up, because I think it would have been a fun show for them to do. Because there's not really a lot of plot. It's just them talking in between the songs and kind of making fun of the songs. And sometimes they play them through. So it's just, I like it. That's all I have to say about that. Now, what actually happened in the real world is they dropped the 30-minute show, and they didn't get this one picked up, but they did, for a little while, resume their 15-minute episodes. And coming up, I think I have to check again, because I think I've already posted them. I think I've posted all the shows that they did in the 50s. There wasn't a lot. I think they ran as long as 1955 before they totally went off the air. And so there's some background story with this. Now, right now, though, I've had on hold, because I did this a little bit at a time, so it saves some time. I have the Retrobots handy. I'm just kind of winging this as I go. And I have Uncle Donny Pitchford here on the phone. And what he's going to do as soon as I hit the button here, I'm going to ask him to describe a page out of the Jot 'em Down journal. It's that new feature there, Uncle Donny, that started in April of 1985. So It's called Back in the Feed Room. So why don't you describe that page and read us what it says there.
Bottom half of the page is split into quarter sections of the page, and we have a column called Back in the Feed Room by Rex Riffle. The header for that is crediting Mr. Riffle. There's a door to the feed room open. We see a pair of knees facing each other, a checkerboard on those knees, and someone making a move. The text reads, Lum and Abner's version of Trivial Pursuit. Did you know? One of the Macmillan boys went into military service during the war. The other did defense work. Squire Skimp once worked for the Sneed and Reedy Chautauqua Circuit. In 1942, 607 families lived in Pine Ridge, according to Mousy Gray. Sister Simpson practices the organ. Her favorite song is Lo, Hear the Gentle Lark. Abner is younger than Ulysses S. Quincy. This month's query, does anyone know where to get a copy of Gilbert the Boy Trapper? Rex Riffle, Publicity Director. On the right-hand side, a new feature, Mousy's Corner, Works of Poetry, edited by Llewellyn Snavely Gray.
The collected works of Llewellyn Snavely Gray. The first one is called That's My Mom. This is about my own mother up in Iowa. She's a lady blacksmith. Under the spreading box elder tree, the village blacksmith stands. That's my mom. A mighty man is she with big and sinewy hands. That's my mom. And the muscles of her mighty arm stands out like iron bands. That's my mom.
From the unpublished manual script entitled The Collected Works of Llewellyn Snavely Gray. There is a border designed for this little section of the page, which has a small caricature of Mousy Gray seated at the bottom of what appears to be a post of some kind. It's a wooden post that is crossed at the bottom and is extended up, and at the top, a crossbeam goes over, from which hangs a wooden sign which reads Mousy's Corner, Works of Poetry edited by Llewellyn Snavely Gray. Atop that, an owl.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Appreciate you calling in, and we'll talk to you later. Come again soon. Come again often. Yep, thanks and goodbye. And now, here is our featured presentation.
Good evening, folks. This is Lou Crosby asking you to stand by now as we switch controls to Pine Ridge, Arkansas, where America's newest disc jockeys and best-loved characters, Lum and Abner, are waiting to broadcast a jukebox jamboree over the new 20-watt station KLUM. All right, take it away, Pine Ridge.
With my darling to the Tennessee Wolves. Went out of an orange-colored sky.
Abner.
I'm a sparrow on a hilltop.
Abner, stop that bellering. You sound like a pig caught in a fence. Get your feet off of that Vicarola so I can lift the lid and get a record started. We're on the air.
We are? Low me, I better get to spinning here then.
Well, don't break the lid clean off.
You want the theme, I reckon.
Well, natural.
As I figured that, that's the one record I never can find. Oh, no, no, here it is.
Well, hurry up. Embarrassing.
Yeah, here we go.
Howdy do, friends and neighbors. This is your old favorite discus jockey broadcasting on a frequency of once a week. On a whole batch of killer cycles.
No, because he can use them big words.
Direct from station KLUM, with studio located in the Jot'em Down store in the heart of Pine Ridge, overlooking Ira Hodgkin's liver stable.
Good thing to overlook, too.
Welcome again to the Jukebox Jamboree, folks. We got a nice batch of your favorite records stacked up by the Vicarola there.
I'll amen that.
And we got some chances for you to win yourself some mighty fancy prizes. Got another winner in the My Favorite Hometown Character Contest.
Hot dog.
And also some high-class culture features I've worked up. So sit back, relax, and join the fun, because here we go with, what's the first one there, Abner? The first record.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute, Abner.
Hot dog is long. Don't that picture number 12 to stomping?
Sure it does.
You want to dance?
No, I don't. I just want you to tell me the name of the song so I can announce it.
Oh, why, it's, can't wait. I'll have to read the label here.
Abner, cut that out. You'll make yourself dizzy.
San, Antonio, Rose.
You can't read it while it's going around that way. Turn it off.
What'd you say?
Never mind. Just let it run now. Great. She was in that land rush when they settled the Cherokee Strip.
That's where she started, Furlong, and the mules run away. She wound up in Texas.
Oh?
Yes, sir. I treat her right there at Austin.
Wait, we ain't found out what was on the first side yet.
Oh, yeah, it was, let's see here. It was Bob Wells doing New San Antonio Rose.
Assisted by Abner Peabody.
Thank you.
Yeah, I ought to know the name of that. Of
course you are. You ain't ignorant, Lum.
Who said I was? Who said I was ignorant?
Oh, I don't know who it could have been. It weren't me, I know. Because I ought to stand up for you no matter what folks say about you. You reckon it was Tom Foster?
It weren't nobody.
Well, what give you the idea you was so ignorant then?
Look, Abner, you said you ain't ignorant, Lum, and I said who said I was, and
I know what we said. I was standing right here. And I said I didn't know who it was that said it, and I don't know because I wasn't there when whoever it was done it that said it. Did they say it right to your face?
Oh, for pity's sake.
You just tell me who it was, and I'll fist fight him. I'll bear wrestle him. I don't guess who was it, Lum.
Look, Abner.
Was it Grandpappy Spears?
Of course not.
Dad, blame it, I was hoping it was him. He's the one feller I can whip. Was it Ezra C. Stock? I'll fight
just
him.
Forget it, Abner, and get some music going. Our listeners will think our transmuters blowed a fuse.
I'll drop kick him to San Antonio.
Stand by for just a second, folks. The program's been delayed by circumstances over which Abner keeps getting me off the track, but I promise it won't happen again. We're going to continue with an awful pretty song now. Tex Ritter and the Denon Sisters, all his favorites, is going to sing Down in the Valley.
Well, come on. We better go down there and hear him sing.
Come back here, Abner. What I mean... No, I ain't going to try to explain it to you.
Uh-huh.
Be safer just to pick another record. I'm going to change that, folks. What else have we got here? Now, here's a good one. Howlin' at the Moon with Hank Williams.
Who is?
What do you mean, who is?
Who's howling at the moon with Hank Williams?
Oh, me.
More than likely somebody's dog.
Yeah, more than likely. Now, listen.
You know, we ought to warn Hank about that, Lum. I know if I got to sitting out in the yard of a night over at my place howling at the moon, my woman Elizabeth would have me locked up. And if she didn't, the neighbors would.
Will you keep quiet for just a
minute? Of course, now, him and that dog might not be howling at the moon. I know I seen that old red-bone hound of Luke Spear sitting out in the yard right in the middle of the afternoon with his nose pointed up howling. It looked like he was howling at the moon, but he wasn't.
That's very interesting.
What happened to him was he was sitting on a cucklebur and just too lazy to get up.
That might be what's wrong with Hank, too.
Abner, that Helen business is just the name of a song.
It is. I'd love to hear it. What'd you say the name of it was?
I ain't gonna tell you. Just start another argument, so. Put on that other one I mentioned, the one with the Denon sisters, and if you say one single word about it, I'm gonna whop you right on top of the head. Do you understand?
I'd answer that, but I don't want to get whopped.
Just start the Vicarola.
Yes, sir.
Down in the valley, valley so low, hang your head over.
That's the saddest thing I ever heard in my life.
Shall the wind blow?
For goodness sakes, Abner, if you're going to sit there and blubber, get over in the corner where they can't hear you.
Poor folks down the valley, the wind's blowing, got a team, won't pull them out.
Hang your head over.
Bless his heart. Bless his
little
heart. If you're going to get all tore up about it and sit there and blubber, stick your fingers in your ears so you can't hear it.
He changed his voice.
No wonder you got your fingers in your ears.
Might have been on a cockaburry shelf, you know it.
Yeah, that was Tex Ritter and the Denon sisters. Pretty, yeah. Wasn't it?
Oh, beautiful.
I wouldn't be surprised if they ain't got trained voices. Special that one there that sings Al Torrey.
Yeah.
And now, folks, right after our next number.
Well, howdy, Grandpap.
Well, howdy.
How's everything over at your place?
Abner, you can't talk to your friends while we're on the air this way. Didn't you put that sign on the door saying we was broadcasting?
Yeah, it's up.
Yeah, how come you fellas are giving up the radio business?
We ain't giving it up.
Yes, sir, I was sure sorry to see that sign you got out there. Quit broadcasting. Oh, well, you read that wrong, Grandpap. That says quiet broadcasting.
Yeah, you got it wrong, Grandpap. That word's quiet. K-W-I-T. You better learn how to spell, Buster.
Yeah, what'd you say, Abner?
I said you better learn how to...
Stop mumbling and speak up, Abner.
I ain't mumbling. I just...
What's the matter? You got the laryngitis? Can't hear a word you're saying.
I'm hollering as loud
as I can.
Wait
a minute, Abner. Ain't no use shouting. Better blow through his ear trumpet. More than likely got something in it.
Oh, yeah. Let me see this for a minute, Grandpap. Recollect one time. No wonder. Looky here. There's a cork stuck in there. There. Now, is that better, Grandpap?
Well, I'm proud you stopped that whispering.
What was this cork doing in your ear trumpet?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I put that in there myself. My woman Charity was jawing at me about some pigeon-toed thing, so I just slipped that in there. I find I enjoy her conversations a heap more if I can't hear them.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I do, Grandpa.
Look, will you two fellas settle your domestical problems some other time? I'm trying to run a show here. Folks,
You better keep quiet now, Grandpa.
Well, that goes for you too, Abner.
Huh?
Say, Lum, do you know why I come over here tonight? No, I don't.
Do you, Abner?
No, I don't know. Why did you?
Well, that's just it. I don't know neither. I was hoping one of you fellers would know.
Well, just sit down over there.
I know I had some reason.
Yeah, well, just sit down and read the almanac. Maybe it'll come to you. All right, Lum. You can go ahead now. I've got everything under control for you.
Oh, well, you're so good to me, Abner.
Well, just proud to do it.
Thank you. Folks, for
all
our next...
Always happy to help you out, Lum.
Well, hush up then.
Oh, yes, sir.
Folks, what I was going to say, Granny, I forgot what I was going to say now. Well, while I'm thinking it up, here's a record I want you all to listen to. It's called Tennessee Central by Roy Acuff.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, that big black engine comes a-puffin' round the bend, puffin' round the bend, puffin' round the bend. Oh, that big black engine comes a-puffin' round the bend. That's Tennessee Central number 9. With her smokestack blazing, she's a-burning up the wind. Burning up the wind. Burning up the wind.
Is that a cup or a cup?
Blazing, she's a-burning up the wind.
Boy, a cup.
The Tennessee Central number 9. Oh, that old TC.
Makes a big thing out of it, don't it?
Bet the flagman give the engine.
He's carried away, don't
he? Get a feeling I must go when I hear that whistle blow on the Tennessee Central number 9.
Sounds just like a train, don't it?
Yeah.
Makes a fella want to travel, don't it? Grannies, I'd love to take a long trip on a train. One of these days, I'm going to Fort Smith.
Well, don't overdo it, Mom.
Hear that bell a-ringing, donging and a-dinging.
I'd love to go with you, if you don't go too far. Long as I love a train. Get me a big cornucopia of grapes and pull my shoes off and there look out the window.
Head up in a smoking car.
Yeah. Get Elizabeth another one of them little glass pistols with candy in it. She broke her.
Rocking and a-reeling, the Tennessee Central number 9.
I just love to sit there and count the telephone posts as you go by.
Oh, I know that he can play that, can't he?
We'll roll into Knoxville.
You ever notice sitting on a train looking out the window, there, it seems like the telephone posts and the trees and all is going by you and you're sitting still.
The Tennessee Central number 9. The flagman gives the engineer the sign. Get a feeling I must go when I hear that whistle.
I hope I'm on a train when they have a wreck sometime.
You want to be on a train when they have a wreck?
Yes, sir. I'd give anything for an excuse to bust that glass and pull that axe out of there one time. Doggone, that was that duty wriggler.
You know, Abner, I was just sitting here thinking this would be an awful good spot for an advertising commercial, you know, and selling some good product.
Yeah, now, there's a job I can handle. I can shout down anybody in Pine Ridge, hey, rush right down, buy one now. This offer won't last long. Money back guaranteed. Finest product in the world.
Well, wait a minute. Abner, that ain't the kind of selling I'm talking about.
Huh?
You don't have to shout at anybody to sell them something. Most of these folks listening in have been friends of ours for 20 years. You wouldn't rush into their homes and start shouting at them to sell them something, would you?
No, that's right, ain't it?
In the first place, we ain't going to sell nothing but products we can honestly and sincerely recommend to our friends. We'll just sit here and discuss the product and tell them in our own words the advantages of the product and ask them to try it. They will. Now, folks, I got a red-hot news flash for you. Just come in over the party line.
Well...
Mr. Roy Ludlow of North of Cherry Hill has just taken a room at Sister Simpson's boarding house. And now, folks...
Hey, wait a minute, Long. Is that the red-hot newsflash?
Yeah.
All of it?
Why, sure.
Ain't you feared of burning your hands handling that hot news?
Well, now, wait a minute, Abner. You know well as I do that when a single feller moves into the boarding house, right away Sister Simpson sets her cap for him. When the poor fella realizes this, he tries to sneak away by climbing out the upstairs window. A neighbor sees him, thinks it's a robber, calls the town marshal, and half the town joins in the manhunt, which lasts for 3 or 4 days.
Well.
They final corner him in an old abandoned mine, slap him in jail. Sister Simpson sues him for breaching the promise, and there's a big trial that runs for several weeks, and the fella general winds up by suicide in himself. And you say I don't get no news.
Plum, I'll never say another word about that as long as I live. Not one single little bitty word. Never.
Oh, hey, I just recollected it, Abner.
Just recollected what, Grandpap?
What I come in here for. I want to use your telephone.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled.
The only trouble is I can't recollect who I was going to call.
Oh, well, let's see now. Who would you call?
Now, wait a minute. He can't use the phone while we're broadcasting now. No way.
Oh, yeah. Better step back down, Grandpap. Maybe you'll think of it later on.
Something awfully important. I know that.
Oh, sure. It must have been.
And now, folks, while we're speaking of news, here's a little article from the Clintonville Courier by Mrs. D.W. Cannon of that city. And for this, we're sending Mrs. Cannon a nice set of kitchen knives. It's one of them articles where the printer made a typographical mistake and it comes out sounding kind of funny. You know, every week we give a prize for the best one of these that's sent in. So if you run across one in your hometown paper, why, just send it to Lum and Abner in care of your local station. Be sure to put your own name and address in it. All right, here's this week's winner.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Miss Muriel Paulson, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. R.J. Paulson of Clintonville, and Lyle Wardlow took the marital vows during an impressive double ring ceremony last night.
Well,
Lyle is connected with the U.S. Forestry Service, and immediately after the ceremony, the young couple departed for Yellowstone National Park, where the groom will be encaged for the summer.
In cage. Come right out and admitted it, huh?
Yeah, that's a gooder, ain't it?
Of course, I don't see no typographical mistake in there, though.
What's that word, encaged? What they meant
was... Well,
that's
what they meant, ain't it? That's what happened when you get married, Lum. I know when me and Elizabeth got hitched, the first thing she done was...
And the word in there was supposed to be engaged.
How could he be engaged? He just got married.
That means he's got a job.
It sure does. Married to one woman and engaged to another. I don't blame little Merrill for caging him up right away. Facts is, you ought to
just
take the buggy.
I'm tired of explaining things to you today. Just slap another record on the Vicarola. Try that and call Moonlight Bay. I believe that's sang by Gary Crosby and his papa.
Oh, yeah, got it right here. Yes, sir. Here we go.
We were sailing along on Moonlight Bay. We could hear the voices ringing. They seemed to say, "You have stolen my heart. Now don't go away." As we sang love's old sweet songs on Moonlight Bay.
I am joined now by my associate in song, Mr. Getty Crosby, who's been flown in at great expense from Cecil Myers' Milk Bar. Get it?
We were sailing along.
I bet you were cute in your new sailor suit.
People cheered
on Moonlight Bay.
Just as sharp as a tack with a belt in the back.
Ow!
You could hear the voices ringing.
A crooning a tune.
They seem to say,
"Oh, Hetty boy, you're a positive joy.
Hetty, you have stolen my heart.
You acted so bad, just a regular cad.
Now don't go away.
And this is the lad who wound up as my dad."
As we sang,
put over a ragtime with a bang.
On Moonlight Bay.
On Moonlight Bay.
Shall we rest on our oars now and listen to the string on song? Well, 20 years have passed. I put on a little around the middle, lost considerable off the top. But Moonlight Bay goes on.
We were sailing along.
Sailing in a souped-up hot rod outboard, yet
on
some sailing.
Moonlight Bay.
Ah, the bay. I was very big on the bay, very
we
big.
We could hear the voices ringing.
Oh,
no.
Listen, don't
they
knock that. Kept you freeloading for years.
You have stolen my heart.
Yes. You've stolen many of my neckties, too, my charvet.
Don't go away.
Oh, don't go away. As we sang
those sweet songs
on Moonlight Bay. beautiful moonlight, babe.
You know, that boy's papa don't sing bad for a old feller.
No, sir, he gets right in there, sings right along.
Yeah, let's see now, what's my next feature here? Oh, yes, my man on the street broadcast. Friends.
Yeah, sit down, Grandpa.
I just recollect who I'm supposed to call.
Well, here, wait a minute, Grandpap. You can't call now. Lum's broadcasting.
Well, this is important. I just got to make this call. Hello, Mamie. This is Milford Spears. I want to call long distance.
Long distance? Oh, now, wait a minute here.
Yeah, put me through to Hatfield. I want to talk to my brother-in-law, Luther Ingalls.
Now, listen, Grandpap.
Luther Ingalls, tall feller with a big tooth on his watch chain. Rush it through, Mamie.
Grandpap, you can't do this.
Of course not. You can't make no long-distance calls right while I'm on the radio. Besides, them things cost money.
Why, sure they do.
Eh, wait a minute.
Huh?
Luther?
Oh, me.
Oh, hello, Arlo. It's Arlo Wormley, Abner.
I don't care who it is.
Yeah, you remember Arlo, Abner.
Huh?
Drove his family over here last summer in that new Model Essex. Runs the Ace High Snooker Palace over there at Hatfield.
I thought you was calling your brother-in-law Luther.
That's right. Orlo, is Luther there?
And get what he's up there for.
Oh, he's shooting pool and it's his shot.
For goodness sakes alive.
Hurry up, Grandpap. Well, Luther's the one that's holding things up. It ain't me. Oh, hello, Luther. Did you make it? Side pocket, huh? Did you get my telegram saying I was going to call you tomorrow?
Bank shot's already trying.
Well, I just called you to tell you I don't think I'll be able to call you tomorrow. No, I got to go to the county seat. Oh, nothing. I was just going to call and tell you that my woman, Charity, is sort of figuring on coming down to visit you folks tomorrow. She is? Well, when did she get there? Well, tell her hello. Goodbye. Well, I do know. She's went down today.
Your woman?
I bound you that's what she was trying to tell me this morning when I put that cork in my ear trumpet. She's standing there jawing at me and waving her hands. I thought she was fixing to swing on me. All she was doing was just waving goodbye. Well, save myself a call anyway. Well, much obliged. I gotta be running along. Good night.
Good night.
Grannies, what a nuisance he can be. We just got to keep that door locked.
Yeah, Lom, you going out for your man on the street broadcast now?
No, there ain't time now, thanks to Grandpap. It's time now for the station identification, so get the theme on the Vicarola there.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Stand by, friends. We'll be back in just a half a minute with the second half of our jukebox jamboree. All right, spin it, Abner. Friends and neighbors, here we go with the second half of Lum and Abner's Jukebox Jamboree being broadcast direct from our studio in the Jot'em Down store right in the main heart of Pine Ridge. We've got a lot more fine recording music lined up for you, plus a few of my own special features, and a couple of more contests, so stick around, folks. We're starting off the second half with a record that's had an awful lot of requests. By the way, this is your program, you know, and we want to play the music you want to hear, so we'd be much obliged to you if you'll let us know what tunes you want. Just drop us a card or a letter telling us which records you'd most like to have played this week. Also, tell us which records you would most like to have broken this week. You know, some song that you're tired of hearing. Just tell us and we'll bust it for you.
Yes, sir.
Just send the cards to Lum and Abner, care of the station you're listening to. And now here's the one that got so many requests. It's sort of different. It's by Tennessee Ernie, and it's called Shotgun Boogie. Start her going, Abner.
Yes, sir.
Dad stands in the corner with the barrels so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun Boogie, I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back. Well, over on the ridge is a steely bark. Hickory nuts are big, you can see them in the dark. The big fat squirrels, they scratch and they fight. I'll be on that
before daylight with the shotgun boogie. All I need is one shot. Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. She had, she said, a Fox 410. I looked her up and down, said, boy, this is love. So we headed for the brush to shoot a big fat dove. Shotgun boogie, boy, the feathers flew. Look out, Mr. Dove, when she draws a bead on you. I sat down on a log, took her on my lap. She said, wait a minute, bud, you got to see my pap. He's got a 16-gauge choked down like a rifle. He don't like a man that's a-gonna trifle. Shotgun boogie, draws a bead so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time. No brush hunter's gonna get my daughter. He cocked back the hammer right on the spot. When the gun went off, I outrun the shot. Shotgun boogie, I wanted wedding bells. I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Yes, sir, that was a dandy.
Oh, I love it. He's got a beautiful voice.
Yes, he has. And now, folks, we're going to take the microphone outside from a man on the street.
But... you know, Lum, I hate to say it, but I believe that Tennessee Ernie comes from the country. It just seems that every once in a while I catch just a touch of a country twang in his voice.
Well, he might have lived there at one time. It's hard for some fellers to lose that twang. I know when I first moved to Pine Ridge, I had an awful country twang in my voice.
Well... I never noticed it.
Well, I've lost it now. But when we first moved into town from that farm up on Shack Creek, I sure had it.
Well, you know, sometimes I get to wishing I could move out in the country. But I don't know. I'm just afeard I've lived here in downtown Pine Ridge too long for that now.
Yeah. All right, now, folks, we're going to move...
Oh, I reckon I could make the adjustment all right, but I know Elizabeth, my woman, never could. She's just too used to all them city-fied comforts. She'd just die of lonesomeness.
Yeah, And now, friend...
The way it is now, you know, she'll be out there plowing her garden, and chances are when she gets down the end of the road there by the road, why... Once in a while, there'll be somebody coming along, and she can stop and talk to her. You know how women folks are, just love to gossip.
Yeah, I know, they sure do, but...
Yes, sir, she'll miss all that hustle and bustle if we ever move to the country.
Well, Abner, we better discuss this some other time.
Yeah, we're better. You're broadcasting now.
Yeah, and now, folks...
And another reason Elizabeth hates to move right now is she's got a pretty good crop this year. Got a nice stand of everything. Considering she's breaking in that young mule to plow with.
Is she breaking in another young mule?
Yeah.
Why don't you just get herself a nice, gentle, well-broke horse and stop all that foolishness? I don't trust them mules. They'll kick your head off.
Well, they don't bother her. She's got a system that she uses on them.
A system?
Yeah, well, like this last one now. When she brung him home, he was wild as a billy goat. So she run him right in a stall, then she walked right in there with him. Turned her back on him. Stood there for about 2 minutes, then she just hauled off and kicked the daylights out of him.
Elizabeth did?
Yes, sir. She beats him to that kicking business. No, I don't believe I could ever tear Elizabeth away from a city life. Well,
well good. I'm glad we got that settled.
Yeah.
Now maybe I can go on with the program here.
Yeah, you better tend to that, Lum. You keep getting off the subject.
Excuse me again, folks, but me and Abner got to talking here and sort of forgot you was waiting, but... We're going to push things right along from here on out. And right now, while I go outside and get set up for the Man on the Street feature, Abner's going to liven things up with Mitchell singing Truly Fair. Let her go.
Truly fair, how I love my truly fair.
Truly fair.
mine. But I'm in love with a pretty little maid. For work I have no time. She's my truly, truly fair. Truly, truly fair. How I love my truly fair. There's songs to sing her, trinkets to bring her, flowers for her golden hair. Oh, once I sailed from Boston Bay bound for Singapore. But one day out in a mist or so, swam right back to shore. Back to my truly fair, truly, truly fair. How I love my truly fair. There's songs to sing her, trinkets to bring her, flowers for her golden hair. I love she and she loves me, pardon if I boast. At times we fight all the livelong night about who loves who the most. My truly, truly fair, truly, truly fair. How I love my truly fair.
Okay, Abner, got her. Roger. Yeah, howdy, folks. This is your man in the road reporter, Flash Edwards, out here on the main street of Pine Ridge, right at its busiest intersection. We're going to try to collar a few passersby from the crowds thronging around here and tap the pulse of public opinion.
Hey, how you getting along out here, Long?
Hush up, Abner.
Doggies, it sure is deserted out here tonight.
Abner, will you keep quiet? Ah, here comes a young businessman heading this way.
Where? All I see is Cedric Weehunt.
Shh. He's elbowing his way through the crowds. I'll try to catch him for a short interview. Sir, will you step over to our microphone for a second?
Mom?
What is your name, sir?
Oh, you know my name, Mr. Love.
Sure, but tell him anyway, Cedric. You're on the air.
I am, huh?
Yeah, tell him your name.
Let's see now. Cedric Weehunt.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Weehunt. You get $5 for knowing your name.
Doggy.
Now then, you being a prominent young businessman...
You must have me mixed up, Mr. Lum. All I do is just hang around the lunchroom and play the pinball machine.
Cedric, don't interrupt.
You being a young businessman, I wonder if I could get your opinion on the current foreign relations policy.
Mom?
Do you have any views on the subject? None at all, huh? Well, it is a hard subject, sir. That was very interesting.
Oh, thank you.
What was interesting?
And now, Mr. Weehunt, I'm going to give you a chance to win $1 in cash if you can answer this simple question. It was sent in by Mrs. L. L. Stoddard of Joplin, Missouri. And for it, we're sending her a double electric waffle iron. Now, this is sort of a trick question, so be on your toes, Mr. Weehunt.
Oh, you know me, Mr. Lum.
Yeah, he does. That's why he's warned you.
Here it is now.
You don't have to stand on your tiptoes, Cedric.
Oh, I was getting tired up there.
Yeah, let down.
If you was in a room that was pitch dark, you couldn't see nothing, and there was a drawer full of black socks and white socks, and it was all mixed up, how many socks would you have to take out before we'd have a pair that matched?
Let's see. It's pitch dark in there, you say?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the first thing I'd do is turn on the light.
Hi, doggy, it's good for you, Cedric.
No, wait, that ain't it. You can't turn on the light in there.
Why not? Is a bulb burnt out?
I don't know. It's dark in there, and that's that.
Maybe the fuse is blowed out. More likely what he ought to do is get a new fuse. Say that, Cedric.
So maybe they're out of oil in their lamp.
Yeah,
No, that ain't got nothing to do with the question. It's just got to figure out how many socks he has to take out of the drawer before he has a pair that matches. Now, go ahead, Cedric.
What colors did you say there was in there?
Well, some of them are black and some of them are white.
Personal, I favor green.
Well, green air nice, yeah.
He can't have green, though. It's got to be black or white.
That don't give him much of a choice. What if he's wearing a green suit?
Abner, you keep out of this.
Oh.
Now, look, Cedric, just make a wild guess. How many socks would you have to take out of that drawer to get a pair?
Oh, that's easy. Two.
Hot dog, good
for you. No. If you just took two, they might not match.
Oh, that's all right. I ain't awful finicky about my socks, no way. Look here, I got on one blue checkered one and the other and sort of orange, see?
Well, look at that, Long.
Oh, me. Abner, you better run back in the store and slap another record on there as fast as you can.
Yeah, all right.
Now, look, Cedric, the answer is three. You'd have to take three socks out of the drawer.
Well, what for? I ain't got but 2 feet.
I know that, but, oh, me, what's the use?
I'm all set in here, Long. There's a good one right on top of the stack. It's one we got a lot of requests for, too. Mockingbird Hill with Mary Ford and Les Paul.
When the sun in the morning peeps over the hill and it kisses the roses round my windowsill, and my heart fills with gladness when I hear the trill of the birds in the treetops.
Old Lum's still out there in front trying to explain that sock business to Cedric. I believe this would be a good chance for me to slip in one of my favorite records. The Andrew Sisters and Red Foley in Satins and Lace. Here we go.
Satins and lace for my darling. Satins and lace for her to wear. Satins and lace.
A gal in my hometown, as sweet as she could be. I told her that I loved her, and she said she'd marry me. So I started saving up, and when folks asked me why, I told them I was saving till I had enough to buy.
Satins and lace for my darling. Satins and lace for her to wear. Satins and lace. Sweetheart.
you see what happened when I took a chance that day.
Uh-huh.
My darling's love turned out to be the price I had to pay. Though she's with somebody else, my love will never die. I'm sorry that I lost the only chance I have to buy.
Satin lace for my darling.
Come in, Lom.
Oh, me. Granny, that boy is a caution. I'm wore to a frazzle. Wore to a frazzle.
Did you finally get Cedric straightened out on that sock business?
Well, now, there's a funny thing, Abner. I know the answer is three, but before I got done explaining it to Cedric, somehow or other, he had me convinced that the answer was four dozen orange socks. I still don't understand it.
Well, here, let me try to figure it out for you.
No, no, don't you get started on it. I've had all this I can stand.
Oh.
This has been a rough night on me. I'm just going to take it easy here for a few minutes and play, Sure, this is the number one song.
Well.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to play the song that's number one in Pine Ridge this week on our hit parade. Now, that is based on the total results of the jukebox down at Luke Spear's lunchroom, and also on eight or nine votes that's been pouring in from all of Greater Pine Ridge. That includes both downtown Pine Ridge and the outlying environs.
Ah.
And the title is...
Mom, what in the world is an environ?
That's the suburbs.
Ah.
The country. We was talking about it just a while ago. The environs is what they live in when they live in the country.
They do.
Why, sure. And now, folks,
well,
the title...
all the folks I know out there live in houses.
Abner, will you please hash up?
Oh, yes, sir.
The title, folks...
Of course, now, there's old man Foss. Now, he lives in a cave. Is that anything like an environ?
Abner, please, I told you I've had enough for this evening.
I'm sorry, but go ahead, go ahead.
Thank you. As I was saying,
friend... I wonder if it's anything like a Quonset hut.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Here, you make the announcement.
Well, I'd love to. Friends, the number one song in Pine Ridge this week is... On Top of Old Smoky. See there, Lum, it's not so hard. You'll catch on to it after a while.
On top of old Smoky, all covered with snow, I lost my true lover for courting so slow.
For courting's a pleasure.
For courting's a pleasure.
But parting is grief. False-hearted lover,
and a false-hearted lover
is worse than a thief.
Is worse than a thief.
A thief will just rob you.
A thief will just rob you.
Take what you have,
and take what you have.
But a false-hearted lover,
but a false-hearted lover
will lead you to the grave.
Will lead you to the grave.
And the grave will decay you.
And the grave will decay you.
Turn you to
Abner,
dust.
For goodness sake, let the fellow sing on.
Not one boy in a hundred.
Not one boy in a hundred.
A poor girl can trust.
A poor girl can trust.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
Tell you more lies.
And tell you more lies.
Than cross ties on a railroad.
Our stars in the sky.
Abner, if you don't stop, I'm going to lock you out of this room the next time we have a broadcast.
Oh, he was doing that so you could sing along with him.
That's for the folks that's on the record.
Let me see if I can get up there on that thing. You mean stand on it and sing?
Get off of that box.
Doggy, that twist. Thing sold me right off of there.
I'm glad it did.
Never place your affection.
Never place your affection
on a green willow tree.
On a green willow tree.
For the leaves they will wither.
The leaves they will wither.
The roots they will die.
The roots they will die.
You'll all be forsaken.
forsaken.
You'll all be forsaken.
And never know why.
And never know why.
And now, folks, here's the part of the program I like the best. This is where we read a letter telling about somebody's favorite old character in their hometown. This week's letter comes from Ed W. Horner of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. There's a card in the mail right now telling Ed he can go down to the local radio dealer there in Cedar Rapids and pick himself up a nice combination radio and phonograph console model. Now, here's Ed's winning letter. My favorite hometown character. In my hometown, Potterville, where I spent all of my boyhood, there's an old fellow known to everyone as Old Cap. About 25 years ago, the town created the office of Director of Animal Welfare, and Old Cap was given the job. But after 6 months or so, funds ran out, and they discontinued the office. However, Old Cap liked the work so well that he refused to quit. After repeated attempts to explain to him that the office was no more, they finally gave up and let him have a desk in the basement of the city hall. And ever since, Old Cap dutifully goes to work every day and has never received any pay. He's become a personal friend of every dog, cat, and horse in town. And his own small house and yard is constantly full of stray hounds, ailing cats, injured birds, and whatnot. He receives a small pension from a railroad company. He was injured while working for them some years ago, but I'm sure most of the pension goes into food and medicine for the animals. His pride and joy is a radio given him many years ago by the owner of a dog he nursed back to health. This radio is as good as the day he got it, because he's never played it. He's never been able to afford to have his house wired for electricity. But he keeps the radio in a prominent place in his house, keeps it well polished, and is very proud of it. I think that Old Cap has certainly enriched life in Potterville, both through his character and the good that he's done. Sincerely yours, Ed W. Horner. Well, sir, now there's a character for you. I wish I'd have known Old Cap.
Yeah, so do I.
And folks, Cap don't know this, but sometime this week an electrician is going to wire Cap's house for him so he can hear that radio.
Yeah, maybe he won't like it so well then.
Well, there's other shows on besides us, you know.
There is.
And we're also sending him an electric coffee pot for his coffee in the morning and an electric blanket to keep him warm at night.
Oh, he'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ed Horner, for your letter. And, folks, I'm sure there's a favorite character in your hometown that we all ought to know about. So write us a letter about him, or her. Just mail it to Lum and Abner, care of the station you're listening to.
Yeah.
And now it's getting down towards closing time, so me and Abner would like to have you join us in a few moments of reverence while we play the favorite hymn of Mrs. C.R. Hansen of Fayetteville. Let the lower lights be burning.
When you're feeble at my breast,
thank you, friends, for being with us tonight. Me and Abner Show hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, and come back again next week.
Yeah, be sure and do that. Good night for now, and God bless every one of you. See you next week. Tune in again.
Presented by Retro-OTR.com.
See you later.
Yeah.